Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Hold those Bibles in the air. Say after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to this word. This word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Clap those hands and take your seats. Anybody grateful for the Lord in this place? Heard somebody say he's worthy. Now we got some work to do today. Get those notebooks out now. I'm not really sure whether or not I'm going to run or if I was in my office and I heard that young man playing trumpet. I said, wait. I was in my office. I said, wait. Hold on. I said, hold on. I hear a sound out there. They started that first song. I said, wait a minute. Bless him on the trumpets. I said, wait, I had to come to the side door. Where is this unfamiliar sound coming from? I appreciate you. Did my heart good. They said he was practicing getting his notes together. I said, you was playing your good notes today. And he and his dad there on the keys. I want to throw something at all of them today. First time somebody threw something at me, I was preaching in the prison. I'm going to start keeping me stuff to throw up here. Did Bishop just throw something? Yes, and my aim is good too. We praise God for worship. Amen. It prepares the way. Worship is our John the Baptist. Y'all catch that later. Y'all catch it later. You're like, oh. Yeah, that's why when some of you don't have worship at home, it takes you a while because your way hasn't been prepared. Amen. But today we're going to deal with some texts, and I think it is apropos that we ended with that hymn. That hymn happens to be one of such debate among some of my colleagues, because they say, you know, we searched through all the scripture and you can't find the word Trinity. I understand. I know you can't find it. As a matter of fact, it was an African theologian. Never mind. Nope, we're going to do it anyway. There was an African theologian, a man who looked like me, who first coined the term Trinity. First coined that term, Tertullian, and here's the reality about him. He really wasn't trying to say that the term was in the scripture. He was like, this is the only word I got that seems to make sense, that it's a triune, that there's one. He wasn't trying. Somebody told me that anybody who believes in Trinity believes there's three gods. I don't know who you talk to. I ain't never heard that a day in my life. Y'all believe in three gods. Y'all believe in three. No, I believe in the mysterion of, I can't figure this out, that Jesus was fully man, fully God, and even at his own baptism, he's in the water, his spirit is descending, and he's talking to his Father. Now, you go ahead and make that whatever you want. All I'm going to say is, God, you something else. Because how can I see you in bodily form when you're talking to yourself, but your spirit is coming down upon yourself all at the same time? And I don't care what you call that, great, powerful, don't make me no difference. But all I'm saying is there's one, listen to the term, God, the singular, in three persons. We can't figure that out, so we call it blessed. That's it. And the reason I think that that's important is because the text that we're going to deal with today, put verse 4 back on the screen for me. The text that we're going to deal with today begins to heighten our experience of the brevity of God. I told you that Hebrews is one of the most Christological books in the scripture. We have spent the last several weeks, as a matter of fact, I taught 10 lessons just on verse 1 through 3, and then Daphne just she acted up last week. It's good when you can be away and not stress. So look at what it says. Having become as much better than the angels. Say better. Better. Jesus is better than angels. Jesus is better than angels. Now we're going to lead this up. All of us can admit we need the Lord. Amen. All of us can admit that God is good. Amen. We can admit that God is great. Amen. However, I'm not sure that many of us realize just how great he is. Look at the scripture. Better than angels. Now, I've quoted a million times, if God be for us, who can be against us? And many of us, come on, show of hands, how many of you have quoted that text before? And then you turn around and live like you don't believe it. Because it's a rhetorical question, right? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then you live like the answer is everybody. No, seriously. Or you live like the answer is, it depends on the day. Or you live like the answer is, depends on how much money I got today. Or you live like the answer is, depends on the weather. Or you live like the answer is, depends on who's against me. But the truth is, the real answer is, nobody. If God be for you, not a soul, not a thing, not a circumstance can be against you. And here's something profound. Having become as much better than the angels as he has. So look at the English here, as he has. So the B part of the verse is about to tell us why he's better than angels. He's become much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. And this bothered me for all of my Bible readers because it doesn't say that Jesus is better because he did better things. It says he's better simply because his name alone is bigger. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me before he does anything, his name by itself is better? I saw this. People of God, and I immediately said, Lord, well, clearly we don't understand your name. There's no way that we can understand the name of Jesus and then look at this text and think we got it when the name is better than angels. Just his name, not his works, not the feeding 5,000, not the giving sight to the blind, not the walking on water, not the calming the storm. Just his name is greater, it's better than not just one angel, all of them. Now, let me give y'all just a clue as we're talking. I got a secret. The devil's an angel. And if the devil's an angel, yes. And his name alone is better than all the angels. Why you stressed out over the devil again? So now you start reading texts like this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. I always used to read that and I went, wait a minute, how can I get inside of his name? And now we're beginning to see, we don't understand the name of the Lord at all. This is for all of my spooky deep people who think that because you ended your prayer with in Jesus' name, you did something. Because if you don't know what it means, ending your prayer with in Jesus' name is the equivalent of simply quoting a foreign language that you don't understand. Huh? Come on now. I can give you a paragraph, a foreign language, teach you how to say it, but if you don't know what it means, you're reciting. Many of us say in Jesus' name, but because you have no idea what his name means and the brevity of his name, you are simply reciting a foreign language. And when you recite a foreign language, the danger is that when you're speaking to someone who understands that language and they talk back, you have no recognition because you never knew the language you recited. Huh? If I go to counting in a foreign language, you know, there's a couple of good Spanish people in here who teach Spanish. They teach the Spanishes. They teach the languages. Listen, let me tell you something. Conversational Spanish and book Spanish is not the same thing. It's not the same. First of all, they talk real fast. They talk real fast. You be sitting up there, wait a minute. Slow down. Como? Stop. Como te ama? You waiting. They done said their whole sentence. I got off the plane, y'all, over in the Dominican, deep in there. They was rolling. I didn't pick up nothing. They had been talking 5 minutes. They didn't know what they said. They waiting on me to respond. No hablo. Just give it up. Tell the truth. No hablo. I took the class, but don't know the language. And many of us, I got the word, but don't know the language. Y'all, no. I sing the songs, but don't know the language. I pray, but I don't know the language. And therefore, Holy Ghost, when you speak back, I'm still lost. Because you're trying to be conversational and I'm trying to be churchy. Come on now. Some of us still trying to touch three neighbors. And the Lord is like, forgive your mother. So, his name, say his name. Now, I need you to understand. So, if his name is higher than angels, put verse 14 on the screen. It gets better. This is the next one. It should be the next one. There we go. Nope, that's one. She's working them. Verse 14. No? We ain't there? Okay, look at verse 14 in your scriptures. In your scriptures. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Now, that's what the angels do. All the angels are ministering spirits who are sent out to render service for the sake, there it is, of those who inherit salvation. How many of y'all saved? I'm saved. So you mean to tell me that the angels are ministering spirits sent out to render service for me? Because mind you, the Bible says I'm just a little lower than the angels. And the Lord has assigned angels to be ministering spirits to work for me. And Jesus, his name, y'all, his name alone is better than that. Good God Almighty, his name alone. That's why when you start saying, if God be for you, if the angels work for me and God is also for me and God's name is higher than the ones who work for me, I'm worried. Why? But let's take it further. Let's take it further. Put that Genesis 19 up. We're going to move quickly. Put Genesis 19 up. Look at this. Two angels came to Sodom in the evening. As Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom, Lot saw him. He rose to meet them, bowed down his face to the ground. Keep going. Just keep going. And he said, now behold, my lords. He's talking to the angels. Please turn aside to your servant's house. Spend the night. Wash your feet that you may rise early and go on your way. They said, leave this verse up. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. Now, there's a couple of things I need you to see quickly about these angels. First of all, clearly they can talk. All right? Clearly they can talk. Second of all, Lot recognized them as looking just like him. He's telling them to wash feet, so these are normal. Normal Joes. They just came out looking just like Lot. Verse 3. Yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread. We really know they normal now because they about to eat. Verse 4. Before they lay down, the men of the city and Sodom surrounded the house, both young, old, all from every quarter. Come on, verse 5. And they called to Lot and said to them, where are the men who came to you tonight? They about to get these brothers. Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. Did y'all say wait? Go back. Bring them out so that we can have relations. In my clump voice, relations. Hot, steamy relations. That's what the movie said. It's in the text. Men want to have relations. It's in the Bible. Thank you. Bring them out. Verse 6. Sound like some of these churches. But Lot went out to them at the doorway. My wife is fanning Jesus. And shut the door behind him. Verse 7. And said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now, this is Lot speaking to the guys, and clearly the guys are recognizing these angels as being just other men. Verse 8. Now, behold, I have two daughters. Yo, nasty tale. Oh, low down. I got two daughters. They ain't had relations with a man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Oh, nasty tale. Go on, your wife ain't seen this part of the text before. Only do nothing to these men inasmuch as they have come under the shelter. This also sounds like some churches I know. Who will cover up the egregious behavior of some as long as it fits a narrative that they don't think is too bad. Stop pulling the pregnant woman up to the front to shame her when you don't say nothing to the man who got her pregnant. Verse 9. They said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien. Already he's acting like a judge. Now we'll treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot, came near to break the door. Verse 10, come on. But the men reached out their hands, brought Lot into the house with them, shut the door. Verse 11, watch. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great. This is leave this up. So that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. Two regular guys. We know them to be angels because the scripture says, and in one fell swoop, everybody blind just because they said so. Right. They struck everybody with blindness. And the name of Jesus is stronger than they. There's a group of men pressing so hard they're going to break his door down, and two angels, just two, were strong enough to open the door, grab Lot, pull Lot in, close the door, nobody got in, and strike all them with blindness and his name is stronger than that. Go to Isaiah 6. I'm almost through. In the year King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty, exalted, train of his robe, filling the temple. Verse 2. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. Now these look a little different. Two covered his face, two covered his feet, two he flew. 3. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." 4. The foundation of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out. Stop. You mean to tell me that I got these six winged individuals and they voice make structures move? When they talk, whole structures get to moving around. And his name. Verse 5. Lord have mercy. Verse, did I only put 4? I only put 4. That's all right. That's all right. Skip the Ezekiel. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. There we go. There's war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. That's the devil. The dragon and his angels wage war. I need y'all to notice something. Michael and his angels. Jesus ain't nowhere in the picture right now. This is just Michael and his homies fighting against the devil and his homies. Verse 8. They were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. Verse 9. The great dragon was thrown down. Wait. So Michael, who is an archangel, but the underling of Jesus, he whooped the devil, Michael, whooped the devil. Look, dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Michael did it. Jesus didn't even have to get out his easy chair. And his name, y'all gonna catch it. I'm trying to figure out why we worry. I'm trying to figure out why you pacing the floor and stuff. When I got two angels who can strike a city with blindness, I got six wing angels that speak and structures move, and I got Michael himself with his homeboys that whoop the devil. And you talking about, Lord, I don't know if you can. Verse 10. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night." So you mean to tell me that the throne didn't even speak until the angels got done whooping the devil? Michael got done putting a whooping on the devil and all his army, and all of a sudden the throne was like, good job, Mike. Way to work. And his name. His name. Go to Hebrews 1:4. Put Hebrews 1:4 back on the screen. There's one. Go to verse 4. Having become as much better than angels, he's inherited a more excellent what? Name, anoma in the Greek, character. His character is better. His who he is, what he represents, is better than all of the angels. Y'all with me? Now, we're gonna spend time. I'm just giving all of this is my introduction. It's going to take me some weeks. But I need you to understand his name is bigger. Just his name. And if his name is bigger, I got angels who make cities blind. I got angels who make structures move. I got angels who single-handedly whoop the devil. And then put verse 14, if you got it. You got 14 back? There we go. Look at this. And they're ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me that the same angels who make structures move work for me? The same angels who whoop Satan work for me. My salvation got me a team. It's literally like being like a straight scrub, and then you get traded to a super team. Yes. No, for real. We were sinking. Yeah. Come on, y'all ain't read Ephesians. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Come on, I give it to you in 2024 language. Scrub! Yeah. And just in case y'all need some help, I'm going to show y'all, make it as practical as I can, and I'm going to be through. I want you to put up that first image. I need y'all to see some things. This is how we normally kind of be like, oh, there's an angel. You know, looks pretty strong. Looks real Michael-ish. Look real about it. Like, you don't want this smoke. Don't he look like you don't want this smoke? It kind of looks like you don't want this smoke, right? Okay. And this is what we associate. Like, wings out, like, you know, step. Literally, I see him like, come on. That's an angel. Come at me, bro. Right. But look at the next image. That's one, too. This is also an angel. And his name. This shows you that we really don't understand. This is how the scripture says, and he had eyes in his wings. Because I want us to expand our understanding of what we think God is. Because if you make the angels men who look like us with wings, then what happens is you actually elevate God just a little bit above that. But when you see that and you like, I can't even comprehend what I'm looking at. And then the Bible says, and his name is greater than that. Okay, let's look at another one. Put another one up. There you go. Look at all them eyes and them wings. He got four heads up top. That's also an angel. And his name. Come on in here. See, the anthropomorphic nature of the scripture, anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism is when you ascribe to God a human characteristic. Anthropomorphism. It basically means that when you say something like the hand of God, he don't have hands. Right? The eyes of God. He ain't got eyes. The reason that's in the scripture is so that we understand. The reason I'm putting this up, and some of y'all are going, is so that you understand that when I say, and the name of the Lord is a strong tower, you begin saying, clearly, I don't even know what the name of the Lord is. Because how do I walk inside somebody's name? The same way this joker right here got eyes in his wings. It don't make sense. The same way God can talk to himself about himself while receiving himself to himself. It don't make sense. And so if that's true about God, when he says, I got you, you don't need to make sense of it, because we ain't this smart. When God get to saying stuff like, I'm going to make a way, don't be asking God to make it simple. Just say, okay. All right? You got eyes in your wings, bro. I'm cool. You talk to yourself about yourself, receive yourself to yourself, minimize yourself into a woman, come out of a woman, and then raise yourself up, grow yourself, lay yourself down, bring yourself back up, sit next to yourself, and you want me to ask how you gonna pay a bill? You got it, bro. You got it. And his name. If his name is greater, how much greater do you think his works are? I heard you. Greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. Okay, let's put up another one. Lord, help us. There's the seraphim. Look at all them wings. All them names written in the wings. Holding the censers off the altar. And you're like, that ain't too bad. That ain't too bad. But here's my last one. Put it up. You got to be able to see. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who sees. Now, this is the most interesting image. Why? Because this, I'm about to mess with some of y'all's, like, I'm about to mess with some of y'all's childhood. This is Ezekiel chapter 10. And watch this. When our grandparents used to say, he's a wheel in the middle. I knew it. This is the wheel in the middle of a wheel. Basically, we can't make no sense of that. It's just wheel after wheel after wheel after wheel, full of eyes with wings on the outside of it, and ta-da. And that's an angel. And his name. Y'all, excuse me. I need y'all to understand something. The next time you say, if God be for me, put verse 14 up. I'm through. I'm going to read it. Veronica's out here freaking out. Just verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? Sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation. I want you to think about the thing you need from God. Think about how hard you thought it was a few minutes ago. Just a few minutes ago, you thought that was hard. Just a second ago. I need you to get your repent on. I want everybody in this room to think about that. Get it in your mind. We're about to give it up. Get it in your mind. We're going to give it up. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for thinking something was too hard. Forgive us for thinking something was too much. Forgive us for thinking something was too big, because your name is even bigger. Allow us, God, to come to a place where we recognize that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess at your name. And God, we're not going to wait until we come before your throne to bow and confess. We bow and confess right now. We repent of elevating anything above you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, clap your hands. Honor the Lord. How many of y'all got challenged today? Come on, how many of y'all got challenged? I love these faces. I put them images up on the screen and everybody was like, now what just happened? Y'all want the images? We'll make them happen. Get with Orlando. He'll send them to you. God bless you. Come on, let's clap our hands for the Lord in this place.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.